And here I am walking up here, and I don't have my Bible. But last week I left my Bible. So I have two Bibles this time, and that's usually frightening if I walk up there, both of them. It's like, yeah, man, yeah, we better get ready for supper here tonight. And so anyway, I couldn't find my Bible all week long. I thought, what? And I looked at my truck, looked over, I thought, there's one of my favorite Bibles, and it's gone. Then I come in and Pat informed me, and Pat and Ronnie, missing the Bible? Still up there where you left it last week. And so I have a different one this time. But we'll keep you in our prayers. You know what I'm going to pray for too? I'm going to pray that those people are caught. I won't see justice. You know, I'm tired of this. Aren't you? And I want to see it from the top all the way out to everywhere. Justice. God talks about the widow and the unjust judge, does he not? And she kept coming to him and he wouldn't give her her request. She wanted justice. Remember that story? And finally the judge said, this woman is driving me crazy. She's wearing me out. I'm going to give her justice for she makes me, you know, that's paraphrased, but that's for she makes me crazy, for she drives me nuts. And Jesus said, he used that parable, that illustration to say, this is to tell you, teach you to keep on praying and never give up, because God will bring justice quickly for his chosen, his anointed. And that's not in this message, but it just with Justin sharing that with me and what happened, it's like God says he'll bring justice quickly. And maybe we need to be a little more firm in praying for justice. Oh yes, we want to pray for people we want all of them to be saved, but I want to see justice too. And I'd like to see justice from the highest office of the land all the way through to those that will break in and steal somebody's livelihood. So I pray in Jesus' name, God, bring justice. And take down the wicked and lift up your name amongst the righteous in Jesus' name. I pray that. I surely do. And that God will provide for you in ways you never thought possible. I pray that. I do. And for every mom in this place, God bless you. I mean it. I mean, you know, not having mom, I've really thought about, I say it every year, but not having one, just mothers, I had one, but I didn't have one. And so Mother's Day was just not Mother's Day. But I've learned to enjoy them around here. And they're fun, and I watch all of you having joy with it. And so God bless you all. Is everybody, did I hear it right? Everybody gets a flower? All the moms get flowers? That's great. You know, if you run out, I've got some at home. I'll give it. And so that's a good thing. God bless you all. I don't necessarily prepare. Many years ago, and some of you were with me with all the things that used to happen. Not here, but in other places, another place especially. We began to have issues over just trying to bring messages on Mother's Day. Wasn't that awful? And people getting mad at each other and having, I mean, over Mother's Day. And so I decided when I started another church, we started this church, broke away from all that. I'm not going to do specific. I can't believe people were getting mad at each other on Mother's Day. And they didn't get recognized correctly. And we used to have the oldest mom, the youngest mom, and all that. And people were, I won't say lying, but fudging their age. And it's like, is it really worth it? So God bless you. But we're going to, I'm seeing it all. And it's like, and we used to, have these little awards and prizes for all that. Didn't we have it one time, many, many, many long years ago, the most children, the mom had the most children. And then people started stacking the deck on that. And then I don't know where they picked those children up, but they claimed children from all over the city. And so we said, this is enough for this. And then on Father's Day, we'd give them a little something. Then when the guys started asking, couldn't we have nice cigars or something that you hand out? And it's like, okay, no, and I can't give you beer either. And so, finally, but don't worry, I always think of you, and we love you. And I just, would you just, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but all of you moms, is that everybody? Hold up your hand a minute. Let me just see. Guys, give them a big hand, will you? Yeah, really. We appreciate you. I've learned a lot through all of you. I really have. Some of you, a lot of you are new here, but, I share each year at this time that not ever having known what it was a mom take care of you, nurture you, do anything, but I've seen a lot of that here, and it's made up a lot for me in the life. I had a really big hole in my life from that. Just not having a mom to be a mom to you. And I'm not mad at her for it. She had multiple things matter with her, but what it came out to in the end is that you miss a mother's love, you don't even know how to take care of something, you don't know how to treat a woman. I mean, really. And of course, that's a lot up to dads too, right? When we get to Father's Day, we'll hit on that a little bit, you know. Kids learn how to treat, really. But moms, they learn how to treat dad, and they're going to learn how to treat their own future partner in life through the way they see us act and behave. And that's scary, isn't it? But I never had that, and I had to figure it out. And God, I realized that God was my mom, and he's a mom to all of us. And we're talking about some things about some very, we're talking about coming to God or mom today in this message. So I'll get right to it. I know we're running a little bit late, and so I don't want to keep here too long. But God bless all of you moms, and God bless our great mom, the Lord. We talk about him being our father, but he's a great mom too. He really is. I was reading some Psalms the other day and talking about sheltering us under his, I was mentioning that earlier and back there we visited him, but shelters us under his wings as a hen shelters her little chicks. I thought, that's a mom thing. And how many times has he done that? When things get really rough out there tough hardened soldiers, when they're hurt, they'll often want their mom. It's amazing how often that comes out. I've never, in my own life, I haven't, that wasn't who I went to, but I realized you call on God as your mom, and you have since you were a little kid, haven't you, Tony? And since you were saved, you realized that your mom was God, he's my father too, but he's my mom. And we're talking about the more feminine, the motherly side of God here in this particular message of Jesus. And it's over in Matthew 11, and you say, well, quit humming around. Let's get to it. We're going to get to it right now. And this is in the New Living Translation. And this passage is not unfamiliar to any of us. And somewhere, it hasn't been that many years or whatever that spoke somewhere around this message. But don't worry. When God brings a message, puts it on your heart, you just bring it. And it doesn't matter. Same for you. If God tells you to do something, you say, well, I already done that. Do it again. Do it again. He's got new insight. Just do what he tells you. So in Matthew chapter 11, we come to verse 28, and Jesus said, come to me. And you ought to love this one. I do. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Does everybody like that passage? I crave it. I can't read it enough. I can't bring enough messages on it. But today, God just suddenly said, Tony, you're missing something. He put in my heart, you're missing some things. You just don't listen to me. It's like, what's new about that? Does anybody have a problem listening? Yeah? Yeah, I mean, how many of you, I'm breaking into this, but I'm always asking these questions. Maybe it's to make me feel better because I do this stupid stuff in my own life. How many of you, when somebody's trying to talk to you, you're thinking of what you want to say back and you don't even hear what they're saying in the first place? and so that's, you're not listening. And so we're already thinking of the response. And sometimes with God, I'm doing the same thing when he's trying to talk and I'm praying and God's speaking in his word or whatever. It's like, God could just see God sometimes saying, if you just let me finish, I really have a blessing for you, but you're going to miss it because you won't stop talking. And you really listen. You're thinking in your head of what you want to say back to me, and you're not listening to what I want to say to you in the first place. So anyway, there we are. He says, come to me. If you're weary, you got your heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And I never have much cared for that one. It doesn't make any difference whether I care for it or not. It's the Word of God, and it's like taking yokes. It's just not a fun thought. Let's be honest. And he knew it wasn't when he said it. I said, take my yoke upon you. And some of your translations said, learn from you and learn from me. And in the New Living Translation says, let me teach you. Same thing. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. He said, my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. And we love that passage, don't we? Until we really dig into it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh. What I don't like is this. Now, what I say I don't like. This passage is a little tougher than it sounds on the surface. It's harder to do. You know, here's that feminine side of God saying, come on, kids, come to me. You know, you hurt you. You got a boo-boo. come to your mother God. Isn't that what he's saying? Come to me. You know, if you're weary and you got all these hurts and I'll give you rest, come on. Come unto me like a little kid. Just be my children and run to me, and I'll take care of your wounds, your physical wounds, your emotional wounds, your spiritual wounds, and all these burdens that you have out there. And he said, just come on, come to me, and come to me, but he said, if you want to be really healed, I want you to take my yoke. And that kind of just like, oh. So let's look at this first part of this here, and then we're going to break this down. This is an exegetical message, kind of taking it verse by verse. And then seeing what is in this. So first thing he's saying, the first thing he's telling us is, you know, he wants everything. You know, you look at this up here in our first point, and he says, I want all your burdens, all of them, not part of them. And okay, great, like that. And so he says, come to me, and there's the tough, there it is already. There's, you get it? Do you see what just happened? He said, you can go out there and be laden with burdens. You can be crying and crying and crying. And that's what a lot of people do. They just keep moaning and groaning over their burdens. And look at this. Think about this. A blind person, Jesus went over there to them. A person that was lame, he went to them. A person that had leprosy, that was kicked out by everybody and nobody, he went to them. But he says, if you have a burden, and you're weary, you're just laden, but you just got so much on you can't hardly handle anymore. I'm waiting for you to come to me. You ever catch this? This is the one time he's saying, when it comes to burdens, when it comes to things that are holding you down, when it comes to things you're struggling with, you must have the humility. It's not like a blind person who can't come to themselves. It's not like a lame person who can't get there. It's not like a person with leprosy and all this other stuff. He said, they have issues that keeps them. I'll come to them. But when you have burdens, you've got something going on in your head. You've got something you just can't get over. You come to me in that spirit of humility that it takes to come to me and surrender to me to get it fixed. And all of a sudden we see a side of him. And it's mom saying, kid, I'm not going to chase you all over the yard. Now, you cut your finger and you keep running from me. I'm not going to chase you to bandage it. If you want that finger cut, that cut place fixed, you come here. And you trust me to fix it. And all of a sudden, out of all the miracles and all the things, we find Jesus teaching something that's kind of radical. If you're burdened, you come to me. Anything else, you fall off, you know, something, and you hurt yourself, he's right there. But he said, these emotional things, these spiritual issues, the stuff, the baggage that you're carrying around, he said, you've carried it that long and walked with it, then you carry it to me, and then I'll take it. And as I study this, and it's like, you know, how many times you brought messages on this, taught this passage, and because it's like you get into the burdens, we all do. And we need to start naming the things that people are burdened with, and we're going to talk about some of those. But all of a sudden, it's like God is saying, you're missing the whole point in here, aren't you? Yeah, I said bring your burdens, talk about the burdens. But what did I say do? You come to me. You what? You come to me, Jesus. I'm not going to chase you all over the world with it. I'm here. I'm like the father waiting for the prodigal son on this issue. I'm looking for you. But you're going to have to be humbled enough by your burdens to come to me and let me heal you. So let that sink in. It's a breaking of pride. It's a breaking of an independent spirit. It's an act of submission and surrender right off the bat. And it's so easy to miss. And so many of us could be healed from so many things that we're just carrying around that are burdens. If we just realize it's going to take some humility to get this done. It's going to take some admitting I can't fix this myself. I'm not blind and I'm not lame. I'm burdened. I'm weighed down with things. And Jesus says, those you bring to me. Bring them here. You have a yoke on your neck. Don't you understand? That's why he said, take my yoke upon you. What was he implying? You're yoked with these things. These are a yoke of bondage to you. And you have been pulling it long enough. Now you pull it here and I'll take it off you and I'll put my yoke on you. Everybody see the picture? Because when you're carrying burdens, and how long have some of you been carrying burdens since childhood? Look at what I just shared with you earlier. You know, you think growing up and not having a mom to help you do anything, ever be there for you, is that a burden to grow up with? And what it left lacking in your life? That's a burden. See, we think of burdens as, you know, that's the depression. And yeah, that's a burden. And sins we've committed. And things we've done, and things have been done to us, and all these burdens, and this just the stuff we carry in our heads and our hearts. And he said, you come to me if you're weary and you're heavily laden with these things, and I'll give you rest. And he's standing there and he's saying, I'm here. Just like he said, and I stand at the door and knock. If anybody open the door, I'll come in. And that's another one that ties into this. What does he say? I stand at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I'll come in. Somehow we get, and I've been in the different churches and other denominations and all. There was just that understanding that Jesus is going to come into your heart. No, he's going to knock at the door, but you have to ask him in. He won't force his way into our lives. You know, I won't run too far with this, but have you ever asked yourself this? If Jesus won't force his will, his self into my life, then why in the world do I try to force myself and my will into the lives of others? How come everybody's got to live up to my standards when he doesn't make me live up to his? He wants me to surrender and live up to his voluntarily. Does he not? But even in families and marriage relationships, it's real easy to start trying to get the other person or the kids trying to make the parent. Kids manipulate parents to do this too. They want us to live up to their will. And Jesus doesn't manipulate and he doesn't force. He wants you to voluntarily take his yoke and live according to his will, but he will not make us do it. Now he'll let a lot of things happen to straighten us up. So if he doesn't make me do his will, how come I make other people do mine? And I don't like saying that because it just takes everything away from me wanting people to drive the way I want them to drive on I-10. You know, it's like, do I have to say that? Because I want to be mad out there. I want them to do what I will them to do. Well, don't you? I mean, if everybody in life just did what you wanted them to do, wouldn't you be so happy? Yeah, you would for a while, then you'd be bored to death. There'd be no variety, no excitement. Well, no surprises. Now some of you are saying, oh yeah, you don't know how I'd love that. All right. So what does he say? Come and bring me your burdens. The more I thought about it, you know, the people in that day had a lot more burdens than we do. Did you know that? Do you realize, have you ever studied any of this? The Pharisees the Pharisees had managed by the time Jesus came on the scene. They had 39 categories. Categories, get this. They had 39 categories of things forbidden on the Sabbath for the people to do that God never had in His Word. They had 39 categories of things that you couldn't do, and they were man-made on the Sabbath. That was just one thing. Religious burdens. Anybody here, think about it. Are you working under some religious burden? Did somebody tell you somewhere in your religious life, maybe in your younger religious life, you better be careful, God's going to get you. God will punish you. Be careful what you pray for. You might get it. Does the Scripture say that? I'll tell you what the Scripture says. Listen to me. Now, I was just reading this, and it was like, oh, my goodness. You know, haven't we all heard that? We've probably said to other people, you better be careful what you... Well, usually we say, be careful what you ask for. You might get it. You know what God says about that? Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock, a door will be open. And He said, everyone that asks receives, right? He says, if you parents, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? But before that, He said, if your son or your daughter, if your kid asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Isn't that what He says? And so all of a sudden, what is He teaching? He's saying, if you parents, and He said, you're sinful, you're evil-hearted, and yet, if your kid asks for something, would you give them something bad instead? Well, He said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things? And Luke says, give the Holy Spirit. And Matthew says, give good things to those that ask Him. You know what He's saying? You don't have to be careful what you ask me for. I'm not going to give you a stone instead of bread. You don't have to be careful what you ask me for. If it's the wrong thing, I'll convict you of it and show you, but I'm not going to give you something bad just because you asked for it. Isn't that what He's teaching? Yeah. He said, I'm not going to give you a serpent because you'd ask for an egg. I'm not going to give you a serpent and all this stuff. Right there, it just kills the whole thing. What do you mean be careful what you ask for? He said, ask. Ask, seek, knock, do it, ask Him. If it's the wrong thing, He'll show you, but He's not going to give you something bad. I don't have to be careful what I ask Him for. And yet, those are religious burdens put on us. And I'll tell you one it followed me all my life. I still work. I have to be careful on this one and claim God's grace. And what is it? God's going to get you. Anybody here ever told that? Did it sink in pretty hard on you? And today you still kind of don't trust God totally, that He might strike you in the head? God's going to get you. God's going to get you. If you do that, you better don't. God will get you. Well, that's one way to control a kid, you know, and God's going to get you. Problem is, I grew up with that. Some of you have too, and you're still a little bit leery. God's going to get you. Then something happens to you, and what's the first thing you think? What comes into your head? God's getting me. He's punishing me. I've sinned. See? I'm getting what I asked for. If God gave us for what we asked for, one, none of us would be here. Would we? If He gave us what we deserve, I've said that wrong. If He gave us what we deserve, would we be here? If He based everything, you know... And some of the things I've asked Him for, if He gave me a stone or a scorpion, my house would be full of them. I ask Him for a lot of things. Do you? I ask Him for a lot of big things, too. I really do. Why ask him to fix a flat? Why don't you just ask Him for a new truck? And if He wants to fix the flat, fine, but, you know, at least you put it out there. That's the way I look at it. It's like, Tony, you know, don't pray for spark plugs. Pray for a whole new thing. And then take what He gives in between. Okay, don't want to ramble. They had 39 categories of things that they had to worry about just breaking on the Sabbath. Many of our burdens, friends, you know, sin. What are they? Sin, despair, weariness of mind and body. We all know those, right? Are those the burdens we come to God with? we're tired, we're worn out, we've got sins, we've had sins committed against us and all this stuff. And then God just slam dunked me on this one. And it's like all of a sudden, you know, I take this and I look at this. I put it down, I look at it, come back to it and restudy it and research it. And I'm just trying to read it in different versions. And just what is it, God? What is it? What's the fullness of this message? What it all is? What's the depth? What are the hidden insights in here that I'm not getting? And all of a sudden, and I jotted it down. See, I keep my pen and the notebook right there just writing, making notes. And all of a sudden, it's like, don't you see, Tony? The burdens are not the issue. You are. I use the burdens to drive you to me. The burdens are not my problem. You're my problem. And that just kind of floors you, doesn't it? It's like, can't God fix burdens? Oh, yeah. But it's fixing you and me, our stubbornness, our pride, our ego that gets in the way, our unwillingness to admit that we're the problem. How many people will sit down and they've got, you know, they're upset with their partner. I hear this all the time. I was just dealing with this a few days ago, not here, other places. And you know, and they're this and they're that and this and that. And I was thinking about this, and that's how God uses that kind of stuff to say, see what I'm talking about? This person is not willing to assume any responsibility for what's going on in their marriage. It's all the other person's fault. It's not the other person right now that's the problem. They are. They're the problem. Now the other person has some issues, but you're the issue. And it's like, so the burdens I bring to God, He can fix those. It's fixing Tony. It's getting through the stubbornness. It's getting through the box that I put God in. It's taking me outside the box. You know, I boxed him in. You can only work this way. This is the way I'm used to you doing. This is the way I was told that you're supposed to work. Don't we do that? Think about it. It takes some thought. We have prescribed ways. We've got these things in our mind. We have a paradigm. And this is how God fits into that paradigm. And God is saying, I don't want to work in your paradigm. I want to work a miracle, but outside the box. I want to do it over here where you're not looking for it. I'm using these burdens in your life, the things that's happened to you, not because I like things to happen to you, because it brings you to me and it breaks you. And I want you broken, and I want you to be willing to take that darn yoke off of your shoulders and take mine on you. And then, you know, it hits you. These a lot of these burdens we're conscious of, sin and despair, depression, anxiety. You know, anybody have anxiety attacks? Really seriously. Are any of you plagued with anxiety issues? You are? Okay. Thanks for saying that. I am at times. And since I had all that surgery, I have more anxiety issues. I didn't have them like that before. I mean, I've always been a worrier. Now I have anxiety. And I can feel a little something and I go into anxiety. It's like, what a tear. And I just don't want to go back. And so I have anxiety. So I understand it. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. I mean, I don't hide these things. I'm not up here to be up someone high on some pedestal. I'm here to model things for you. I'm here to say, look, God uses me in spite of all this. God healed these things in me. He knows I have anxiety. Those are burdens. And he said, come on, Tony, bring that to me. Bring to me the fear of ever being operated on again. You got to let go of that. But the other day, I had a little pain down in here. And it kind of got bad for a little bit. What do you think I was thinking? Oh, God, please, I don't want to go back. I don't want to be in the hospital another 7 or 8 days with all stuff, you know, tubes everywhere. It passed. It went away. And I think I exaggerated in my own head. Do you ever do that? You ever take a little bitty thing and all of a sudden you start worrying about it and it gets big? Yeah. So, God, those are burdens, don't you see? Those are the things He says, bring them to me because it's bringing you to me. I want to fix you. When I fix you, your burdens will be fixed. That's the way it works. And we're conscious of these things. But then I got to move on. Golly. Our great mom our Father God saying, bring me these, but there's other burdens and I don't know I have. Those are the unconscious things that I'm not aware of burdens. And all of a sudden, it's like the Lord was saying, do you know what some burdens are in your life and other people's lives that you're not aware of? You're thinking depression and anxiety and sin habits. Somebody drinking too much and eating too much and all this stuff. He said, what kind of a burden is it when you have a critical spirit? When you're a judgmental person? That's your worst burden. It's a worse burden than anything. You're judging everybody. You're critical of everybody. And I thought, oh, wow. I've never thought of those as burdens, but they are. My facial expressions, can that be a burden to people? The way you raise your eyebrow or snarl at everything. And are you ever with anybody and they've got this way of coming and they roll up into them? And you just want to, you know. And God said, thou shalt not murder. But don't, really, you see what I'm saying? Aren't those burdens that we put on other people? And my sharp tongue? There, I know there's no one in here that ever has a sharp tongue. But you know people that do. Are those burdens? Yes. Yes. Are they getting in the way? Are they dragging me down? Is a sharp tongue dragging us down? A critical spirit? A negative attitude? A haughty expression? And all of a sudden I'm sitting there thinking, oh God, you want me to bring that on Mother's Day? He said, I'm your mother. Wouldn't a mom say, don't you look at me that way? Wouldn't she? Don't you talk back to me. Don't look at me that way. Right? Well, that's what I've seen anyway. And then I've seen at the same thing. Ma'am?
I truly believe that Mary invented the mother look.
The mother look. There you go. There is a mother look. Yeah. And there you go. If you didn't hear that, Mary invented the mother look at the wedding in Cana. She did, didn't she? When she went up there and she said, we ran out of wine, told her son, and he said, what have I got to do with this? We don't know what happened, but it was just that Mary look, that mama look, that like, don't you talk back to me. And he made that water into wine. That's funny. That's a good one. Thank you. That's a good illustration here. And our mother, our God, the mother side of him is saying, you bring that critical spirit and that haughty look and that sharp tongue of yours, that's a burden. And you're burdening other people with that. And I want you to bring that to me. That is a yoke on you. And I want you to get it off. And I want you to let me have control of you and take my yoke upon you. You know, the problem is, we talk about yokes over here. Here we are. Who's seen a yoke? Who's seen an oxen with a yoke? We talk about yokes. That's the problem. We can't identify with this. So what does that mean? That's a pretty big thing. You know, taking the yoke, that's a heavy wooden harness. It fits over the shoulders of an animal, especially oxen. And it's attached in whatever he has to pull. The yoke itself is a big cumbersome piece. And he said, I want you to take my yoke. Now I want you to take it upon you. He said, it's not heavy. And here's the problem. You think about it. Is your sharp tongue heavy? Is your critical spirit heavy? Do you ever get tired of your own self? You ever get fed up with you? Do you ever say to yourself, I just wish I wouldn't talk that way to people? I wish I wouldn't say that to my wife. I wish I wouldn't say that to my husband, whatever. You ever do that? Yeah. We all do. I mean, and I just wish, why did I have to say that? You just get so mad at you, tired of yourself. It's a big old yoke. It's like the yoke the oxen were having. He said, you've got such a heavy yoke. If you'll come to me, I can change you. I can change you. If I change your heart, I've changed what you're doing. So many of us are unhappy. You think God would like to give you a happy thought? I know, you said, oh, you watched Hook, didn't you, Peter Pan? Where's your happy thought, Peter? I think God's saying that to a lot of us. Where's your happy thoughts? You're not thinking heavenly. Never, never land. You're not being heavenly minded. You got all this earthy stuff, so you're just yoked with it. So here we are with our big heavy yoke, and he says, take that off and take my yoke. Why? I got to close this up because we're on it. Because Jesus' yoke is one of surrender. It's one of yielding. It's a yielding thing. It's a yoke that's not heavy. He said it's not heavy yoke. Jesus' yoke is made out of real lightweight material. It's not heavy wood. It's not a thing that weighs us down. But it's an act of submission. It's an act of surrender that's saying, I'm giving my tongue to Jesus. I'm giving these looks and the rolling of my eyes and my critical negative attitude and my cussing and my fits and my spells and then all the other things in my life, my depression and my anxiety. I'm giving it all to him. And I'm going to give it to him every day, and I'm going to take his yoke. It's so lightweight. God has the best composite material made, okay? Whatever that is. His yoke is a spiritual yoke, and he says, let me take off that old wooden yoke of bondage, and I'm going to put my yoke upon you. You know what? You know what? Look at this. Look at this. This is so good. There's so much here. He says, take my yoke upon you and let me teach you. I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear. You know why? When you surrender to Christ, you give yourself to his lordship. You put yourself in his yoke. He is there taking the load, and you're walking with him. Mom has come, and she's saying, I'll wash these dirty clothes of yours. I'll clean the filth out of here, and I'll help you, kid. You're going to have to walk, but I'll carry the load. But you walk in surrender with me on this journey. Man, what are we waiting for? Why don't you get rid of that stuff, that junk that's been embarrassing you, harming you, holding you back? Why don't you come on? Come, come. He's standing there waiting like the father of the prodigal son. Come on, come on, come on. He's encouraging you. Come on. How long are you going to be dragging around this stuff? Come on. So you went through a bad marriage. I hear that so often. Tony, I just can't trust men anymore. I can't trust women anymore. Blah, 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 blah. I can't trust anybody because I went through this horrible thing. I know you did. God knows you did. That is a yoke. Bring it to Christ. He can forgive you. He can relieve you. He can give you a whole new start. Isn't that what he says? You are a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. Give him a chance. Stop going around, hating people. Okay, you made a mistake. They made a mistake. I've said that to people, and they said, it's more than a mistake. Okay, what was it? Name it. You call it whatever you want. It's still a yoke. Let's get rid of it. God has a great life for you. You might really find that there's a wonderful person out there if you give them a chance. True? If you just get over it. God can get you over it. Man, as long as you're under Jesus' yoke, the burdens of life, they're just not heavy anymore. I got to close, and you're ready for me too, I know. So let me finish this last point. No, well, thank you. You see, there's giving and taking. That's what we're talking about with this yoke. It's you give him all this, your burdens, and you give him yourself, and you take his yoke, and then we learn to live, learning and living. That's the third point. What did he say? Let me teach you. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. He said, my yoke is easy to bear. The burden I give you is light. And it's like, what are you talking about? It says, he said, you willing to learn from me? You willing? See, that's part of what his yoke is learning from him. And willing, get this, you ready? Ready? Hope you're ready. It's willing to abandon some of the things I've been taught by people all my life and start learning from him what he says. The Pharisee had 39 categories. How many categories of people stuff have been put into your head? What kind of crud has been put in your head? Maybe well-meaning, well-intentioned, but it's not served you well. And he's saying, look, let me take all this stuff. And let me teach you how to live life. Let me teach you how to be happy. Let me teach you how to smile in your heart again. Let me teach you what it's like to wake up of a morning and not have all this stuff and not have to be saying, God, what am I going to do? Yesterday I hurt those people. I smarted off again. I just had to open my mouth. I won't ask for a show of hands. Yeah, I will. Anybody ever had to wake up and think about that kind of stuff? Okay, bless your heart. We understand. There's others here too. You're not alone. I mean, you ever just wake up and say, what was I thinking? Or do you wake up and say, I hope I never see those people again after the way I acted? And Jesus saying, if you'll let me teach you and you'll take on my character, you'll wake up in the morning saying, I hope I see those people again. I want to be a blessing to them. God, I'm your instrument. You've taken my old yoke of garbage away from me. My old critical, negative spirit and all the hurts and pains and the mistakes and sins, all of it together. And now you're helping me and I'm a new creation in Christ and I can look at everybody around me and say, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm not going to be mad at you today. You know why? Because God gives me another chance, another chance, another chance, and God's not mad at me today. God just loves the dickens out of me in spite of myself. And that's the kind of God we have. And he's a great God to know on Mother's Day too, isn't he? To me, that's the mother's love I never got to know, from a mom. But I learned it from him and how great it is to say, come here, kid. You know, I wonder if there's days God just saying, I just want to wring your little scrawny neck. Hasn't every mother in this place, every dad felt that once in a while? I imagine, I can't speak for him, but I would think once in a while he's saying, And what does he do instead? Oh, come here. I love you. I just love you so much. That's his yoke. That's what it's all about. Thank you for this day, this word that you give us. Thank you, Father, that when it all boils down to it, that's what it is. We cannot make you stop loving us. And we come to you with all of our junk, and we have to come often. We just pile more on. And there you are, Sam. Bring it to me, bring it to me, bring it to me. I'll take it, I'll take it, I'll take it, and I'll put a new yoke on you, make you a new person. I forgive you. Let's go. Let's get it. You got a life to live. Won't you live it with joy and happiness? God, yes. Yes, transform us. That in spite of all the junk that we're carrying, all the burdens, God renew us in spirit and heart and mind, will and emotion. Then we walk out here and have a smile on our heart, smile on our face, the joy of the Lord within us. Besides, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you for it, Almighty God. Use us, keep us, cleanse us in the blood of Jesus. Strengthen us as we go out of this place to not only face the rest of the day, but to live tomorrow with you, our new yoke, our new life in Jesus' name. Amen.